This is Next. I'm Morgan Springer. It should go without saying, some New England states are vaccinating against COVID-19 quicker than others. Here's the ranking from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention as of this taping. We've got Connecticut at the top with about 11% of people getting a first dose. They're followed by Vermont, then Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and finally Rhode Island. Joining us to talk about the rollout are three New England News Collaborative reporters who cover health: Martha Biebinger at WBUR in Boston, Patty White at Maine Public Radio, and Nicole Leonard at Connecticut Public Radio. And we'll start with you, Martha. Why has the vaccination rollout been slower in Massachusetts?
Well, Morgan, our Governor Charlie Baker would say that it's because Massachusetts has taken a more sort of targeted approach, focusing on people in homeless shelters and prisons and group homes where there have been clusters of cases, doing that instead of offering shots to, say, all of the state's oldest residents right away. But there have been a lot of glitches, too. So there's a pretty clunky online registration system. The state has sent too many doses to some sites and not enough to others. There have been some challenges persuading people in these vulnerable groups to get vaccinated. Now, Morgan, I'm also hearing, though, about some pushback on these state rankings that you referenced in the introduction. Dr. Tom Sequist oversees equity at the largest hospital network in Massachusetts. It's called Mass General Brigham. And Dr. Sequist says some of the states that are vaccinating people quickly, and so doing really well in these rankings, are doing so with large venues in the suburbs that are more likely to cater to white residents.
This choice to support these venues that aren't accessible to communities hardest hit by the COVID pandemic is another form of structural racism that perpetuates gaps in health outcomes.
So what does he suggest instead?
Dr. Sequist would like to see state rankings based on, for example, how many Black, Latinos, or members of other minority groups have been vaccinated, or maybe how many people in the state's hardest hit communities have received their shots.
Because the weight of the evidence highlights that it's these populations that have the highest burden of COVID illness. And therefore, it's these populations that we should really be focused on increasing the vaccination rates among.
That's really interesting because, like Massachusetts, Rhode Island has also been slower, but the state has decided to do exactly what he's suggesting by focusing on vaccinating residents in an area that has especially high infection rates, that's Central Falls, Rhode Island. But then on the other end of the spectrum, there's Connecticut, which leads the pack in New England in terms of the share of the population that's gotten the first dose. And on the surface, that sounds good. But Nicole, what about equity?
It does look good on paper. Connecticut is in the top tier of states that are vaccinating people very quickly, and the state chose to strictly keep its eligibility to residents 75 years and older. But then you have to look at who these residents are, and Connecticut's oldest population is majority of white residents. We know that from new data that wealthier and whiter suburban towns are vaccinating their residents faster, leaving behind some of the more rural towns as well as cities that are majority Black and Hispanic populations. And those cities are having trouble vaccinating their residents faster. They have different obstacles and barriers to overcome. And we also know that these populations, Black and Hispanic residents, their average age of the populations are younger. So it means that less people of color are eligible right now for the vaccines in Connecticut. And the state is trying to find solutions on how to better allocate its doses and resources to these underserved communities and achieve better equity in their vaccine rollout as opposed to just vaccinating as many people as possible very quickly.
Got it. So, Patty, let's bring you into the conversation. Last summer, data showed that Maine had the largest racial disparity in terms of COVID-19 infections. And at that time, Black residents were contracting COVID at 20 times the rate of white people. Has the state kept this in mind during its rollout?
Yeah, and the racial disparity has narrowed since then, but it's still not good. So racial and ethnic minorities make up about 5% of Maine's population, and they account for about 10% of all cases. And the state is tracking how many people in these groups are getting the vaccine, and they're posting that information publicly on a website every day. But the problem is a lot of people, when they get a dose, are not giving the information. So it's really hard to tell at this point how Maine is doing with equity because about 30% of people are just not providing that information. I have spoken to a manager of a health clinic in a community that serves a large immigrant population. And she says that there's a lot of vaccine hesitancy and that traditional public health messaging isn't really effective for this group. So from what I'm hearing, I think the state is going to need to come up with some other strategies to make sure that there's equitable distribution of the vaccine.
And what else is the state of Maine grappling with right now?
Well, we're focused on vaccinating people who are 70 and older, and there's been a lot of confusion and frustration in this group because there's kind of a patchwork system for signing up that's different depending on where you live. And so some of the first sites that offered vaccinations required people to sign up online. And that's a problem in a rural state like Maine, where there are many people who don't have an internet connection, let alone a computer. Now there are more places that are offering a phone option. Some allow people to pre-register, where you can, you know, leave a message and then get a call back when there's an appointment available. But then other places, you can't do that. So there's just a lot of variation, a lot of different things to keep track of. And there are people in this older age group that are worried they're going to fall through the cracks. And the state is aware of this, and they're trying to create a centralized registration system, but it's not up and running yet.
Okay, so it sounds like they're working on a solution. Martha, does this resonate with you, these challenges of a decentralized system in Mass and beyond?
Yes, we're hearing from lots of people who don't know exactly how they're supposed to sign up. And there are different paths. You can sign up through your hospital. You can go to a public site in Massachusetts. You can also, in some cases, go to your local Board of Health if you're a resident and get a vaccine, say, at the senior center there. But this decentralizer, as Patty was saying, this patchwork approach really causes a lot of confusion because it means people might sign up for appointments at more than one place, and then they go wherever they can get in first, but they might forget to cancel, and that messes up the supply of the place where they didn't show up, or it leaves an open appointment. That might lead to waste, or at least a scramble at the end of the day to try to be sure that you're not leaving vaccine in the vials. So it's really a problem that we don't have a centralized healthcare system, much less a centralized vaccination sign-up and delivery system.
Now, all New England states are currently vaccinating older residents. They've moved into their second phase or phase 1B, depending on the state that you're in. Nicole, when Connecticut moves beyond that and enters the next grouping, people with serious health conditions and essential workers like teachers and grocery workers, is there any indication how they're going to decide who goes first among those groupings?
Yeah, they're still figuring it out. They're taking it 1 week at a time. But you're going to have to stratify within these groups because these groups account for such a large portion, at least of Connecticut's population, that it's otherwise going to be a little bit of a free-for-all if you open it to everybody all at once. There have been earlier indications, the governor as well as some other state officials have indicated that teachers will be at the front of the pack among essential workers, but they haven't really fully committed to it. And a reason for that is if you make some of these decisions too early without knowing quite what the vaccination supply is going to be in a couple weeks or in a couple months, then you do risk angering some people. And this is a very anxious time for a lot of people. So it'll be very difficult to determine who exactly goes next in those groups, but it has to be done.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Connecticut Public Radio's Nicole Leonard, Maine Public Radio's Patty White, and WBUR's Martha Biebinger. Thank you all so much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Listen to Next from the New England News Collaborative, wherever you get your podcasts.